Penguin Audio presents Plague Ship, written by Clive Cussler with Jack DeBruhl, read by Jason Culp. Barents Sea, north of Norway, April 29, 1943. A pale hunter's moon hung above the horizon so that its light threw dazzling reflections off the frigid ocean. By rights of their extreme northern latitudes, the waters of the Barents Sea should be frozen over and impassable for most of the year. But the sea was blessed with warm waters cycling up from the tropics on the Gulf Stream. It was this powerful current that made Scotland and the northern reaches of Norway habitable, and kept the Barents free of ice and navigable even in the deepest winters. For this reason, it was the primary route for war material being convoyed from the tireless factories of America to the embattled Soviet Union. And, like so many such sea routes, the English Channel or the Gibraltar Strait, it had become a choke point, and thus a killing ground for the wolf packs of the Kriegsmarine and shore-based Schnellboats, the fast-attack torpedo boats. From bases in Norway and Denmark, patrol aircraft scoured the seas, looking for the convoys of merchantmen, radioing positions back to fleet headquarters so the U-boats could lie in wait for their prey. For the first years of the war, the submarines enjoyed near-total supremacy of the seas, and untold millions of tons of shipping had been sunk without mercy. Even under heavy escort by cruisers and destroyers, the Allies could do little more than play the odds of having one ship sunk for every 99 that made it through. By being gambled so coldly, the men of the merchant marine paid as high a toll as frontline combat units. That was about to change this night. The four-engined Focke Wulf FW-200 Condor was a massive plane, 77 feet long, with a wingspan of nearly 110 feet. Designed before the war for Lufthansa as a passenger airliner, the aircraft had been quickly pressed into military duty as both a transport and a long-range reconnaissance platform. Her 2,500-mile range allowed the Condor to remain aloft for hours and hunt Allied shipping far from shore. The aircraft's pilot, Franz Lichtermann, chafed at the monotonous hours spent searching the trackless sea. He longed to be in a fighter squadron, fighting the real war, not loitering thousands of feet above frigid nothingness, hoping to spot Allied shipping for someone else to sink. Back at base, Lichtermann maintained a high level of military decorum and expected the same from his men. However, when they were on patrol and the minutes stretched with the elasticity of India rubber, he allowed a certain amount of familiarity among the five-man crew. "That should help," he commented over the intercom and jerked his head in the direction of the dazzling moon.
"Or its reflection will hide a convoy's wake,"
his co-pilot, Max Abelhardt, replied in his customary pessimistic tone.
"With the seas this calm, we'll spot them even if they've stopped to ask for directions."
"Do we even know if anyone's out here?"
The question came from the crew's youngest member, Ernst Kessler. Kessler was the Condor's rear gunner and sat scrunched at the aft of the ventral gondola that ran the partial length of the aircraft's fuselage. From behind his plexiglass shield and over the barrel of a single MG-15 machine gun, he could see nothing other than what the Condor had already flown over.
"The squadron commander assured me that a U-boat returning from patrol spotted at least 100 ships 2 days ago above the Faroe Islands," Lichtermann told his crew. "The ships were heading north, so they've got to be out here somewhere."
Another tedious hour dragged by, the men peering into the night in hopes of spotting the convoy. From his aft-facing station, young Ernst Kessler shouldn't have been the one to spot it, but he did. As the plane canted over, an unnatural glint caught his attention, a flash of white far from the moon's reflection.
"Captain!"
Kessler cried over the intercom.
"Stop outside, bearing about 300!
"What did you see?" the primeval thrill of the hunt edged Lichtermann's voice.
I'm not sure, sir. Something. A glimmer of some kind.
Lichtermann and Abelhard strained to see in the darkness where young Kessler had indicated. I'll be damned, Abelhard mouthed, and then pointed through the windscreen.